And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How was your weekend?
It's fine. I can't believe I missed this Will Smith smacking Chris Rock, though.
So amazing.
I'd long since gone to bed, and I wake up, you know, look at Twitter real quick. Wow. That was a slap.
Are you on team it was real or team it was fake? There are some people that believe it was like a, you know, just a bit that those two did, which if so, they need to hand Will Smith another Oscar after that performance last night.
Well, I mean, I've watched a little bit with you pre-show meeting. Let's review every angle of the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap. I mean, it wouldn't just be Will Smith who would be Oscar worthy, but Chris Rock was, like at first I can't believe he stood in the way he did. Kudos to you, Chris Rock. And like, you know, he slapped the bleep out of me. But then you could see, like, maybe a little bit of humiliation slash pain settling in as he's trying to continue to host the show. I mean, man, wow. Wow.
It's beautiful stuff last night at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, I, along with, like, most people now with the Oscars, wasn't watching. And then that happened, and it was amazing. I flipped over just in time for Will Smith to accept his award for Best Actor that he won, which, talk about... What a way to be on stage for your first Oscar win.
Did he joke at all about the slap?
Not really. I mean, kind of. I mean, he was like crying the whole time.
Okay.
And talking about how he is now a protector and wants to display love to people. I'm like, really? Okay.
Other than not named Chris Rock.
He apologized to like everybody in the audience other than Chris Rock. He's like, sorry to the Academy, my fellow actors. He never said Chris Rock's name.
Yeah.
I think he was all that sorry for Chris Rock.
Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing.
Woo,
Michelle,
man.
Are you on team real or team fake for Will Smith?
That for sure was real. I honestly, when I got home yesterday and some friend like was like, holy crap, Chris Rock, Will Smith. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then pulled up Twitter. I watched, I think, every single angle, the unedited. I also just listened to this sound we have and you can hear the thump.
Oh, yeah.
When Will Smith just slaps him. Also, can we shout out Chris Rock for taking that like a champ? His hands are behind his back. His, like, head moves, and you can tell he's like, oh, I'm on national television right now. He's like, whoa.
I think he's in shock. Like, when Will Smith hopped up there, I think Chris Rock was like, okay, yeah, he's coming up to.
He said, hey, Richard. Like, yeah. That's his film.
Like, he's coming up to mess with me a little bit.
And yeah.
Then, I mean, he did.
He didn't flinch.
No.
I mean, he just took it.
Do we have that sound?
Yes, I need to double check it really quick.
Okay. But yeah, please do. Please do that.
Yeah, that's probably a good
that
idea.
That would be great if we could double check that.
This is where, you know, being outside for 12 hours yesterday at a 7-on-7 tournament really cost you because I was so tired. I mean, I know, like, believe me, I didn't do anything. But still, you're outdoors for 12 hours in a row. I just had to go to bed early last night.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I will say from now on, like for the next little while, even in the world of sports, when things happen, you know, when somebody beats somebody's doors off, like there's going to be the meme of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock from now. It may be the new crying Jordan meme as we move forward. We brought Rex Road to tears over here.
Wow. Yeah. That's it's a heck of a meme. Like the meme with, like, post, like, following through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Also pretty amazing that when things like this happen, now we think about the memes and the GIFs. But hey, these are things that we do.
Well, I mean, we've talked a lot on this show about how the internet and Twitter specifically can be a cesspool at times. Last night was a great night for Twitter.com, the Twitter app. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, so I don't even know. I mean, I have no idea because, you know, I went to bed. I don't know if Katie watched this or not. I know that we were recording it for her, but like, it doesn't matter if you're watching something live or not, you know?
No.
Because immediately social media will, here you go.
And well, if you're watching it live,
catches up, but then,
it just went silent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the
ABC feed.
They
just
totally
cut it out. They just muted all of the yeah.
But the Japanese feed and the Australian feed, they did not. That's where the audio came from.
Interesting. Okay. Yes. Okay.
And we have the audio if you guys want to hear it.
Let's do it. Let's play what happened last night between Chris Rock and Will Smith at the Oscars.
Oh, Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Will Smith just smacked out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay. So we are here to give a documentary out, to give an Oscar out for.
So we are here to give a documentary out. Oh, wow.
That was
what a night.
That was so jarring it knocked me off Zoom.
Man,
see, it's like at first he handled it really well, and it's like, whoa, what?
Yeah, I think it started
man?
To set in there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, now Chris Rock's under fire, too, for making the alopecia joke to Jada Pinkett. So, I don't know. It was quite the night last night. I got a texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, would Will Smith have done that if The Rock was the one that made the joke? Probably not.
Yeah. Slap Chris Rock, yeah. Slap The Rock, no.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, see, honestly, so, I don't know. I can just speak for myself. I would not have gotten that joke. Like, I didn't. G.I. Jane, okay, she has short hair. I didn't realize that was the thing. So,
well, you can see like in the video, like Jada Pinkett's reaction to that joke. She was just like, "Oh, really? You're gonna go there, huh?" Like, she was not a fan of that one. And then I think it finally set in with Will Smith what he said, and then he hopped up on the stage.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, especially I think like with Chris Rock or it like you gotta under like they are going to make. You know, they're going to make some jokes that, you know, they cut to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that just happens all the time, you know.
Well, I just love how he could get up on stage and slap someone and nothing happens. If he would just move on, he gets up and says, accepts award later. It's like, oh, okay. I guess he slapped him. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's assault. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. Ugh. What a night at the Oscars. I'm sure we'll take your reaction to that all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the Final Four is set in the NCAA tournament. Duke versus North Carolina, which I'm sure we'll hear about ad nauseum this week. Looking forward to that. Villanova and Kansas as well. So after a great tournament full of upsets, and shout out to St. Peter's. They gave it all they had, and then they ran into North Carolina yesterday, and they looked a little bit more like I think we thought St. Peter's would look like. But after a great tournament, we have a Final Four of Duke, Carolina, Villanova, and Kansas. Your reaction to the Final Four made official yesterday?
Yeah, St. Peter's, ran out of all the pixie dust. It's weird. They actually looked like a team that was like kind of feeling the pressure or something, like people all of a sudden expected them to beat North Carolina, you know. But at that point I was like, hey, I'm keeping an open mind, but they're missing bunnies, and it's like, oh man, you gotta play free and loose still if you're St. Peter's in the Elite Eight. But North Carolina is playing really well. Duke Carolina, I mean, look, I'm excited for it. It's never happened in the Final Four. I mean, it's a compelling game. Duke is way different than when Carolina came into their place and beat them. They figured a lot of stuff out. It also is a lot easier to figure a lot of stuff out when you got five stars all up and down the roster. I mean, it's just a supremely talented team. Miami is up on Kansas at halftime yesterday. I'm like, wow, Miami's actually going to do this. And then all of a sudden, like, they just did not play in the second half. Kansas, my gosh, did they turn on the Jets. I'm just kind of bored by the other one. Like, Villanova is one of those teams that I really respect them and good for them. And, like, they're the best free throw shooting team ever, and they're solid and they're tough, and they're just so boring. Like, I'm really bored by the idea of Villanova, Kansas. I'm sorry. Also, I'm going to take issue this week when people say this is an all-blue blood Final Four. It's not. Villanova's not a blue blood. Villanova's a great program, but I think there's four programs that right now that can be called that. Villanova's not one of them. They might be the best program now. I mean, it's crazy to think that Jay Wright is 20-3 in the tournament.
It's not bad.
Since 2016.
The anti-Rick Barnes.
Yeah. I guess the anti-Rick Barnes would be like bad in the regular season and then great in the tournament. Yeah. But in terms of tournament success, no doubt. So they might be the best program going. It's not a great team, but, man, maybe they'll win it. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the first half of that Nova-Houston game. That was like watching people throw stones at a wall. That was something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was ugly. And that's the thing. I thought that Houston, after the way they've been playing, beating Arizona, I was like, okay, this is going to be a second straight Final Four for Kelvin Sampson. But, oh, man, could they not hit the wide side of a barn?
It was rough. But the Final Four is set. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Final Four, right now FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers a $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet is up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I think I like Duke in the Final Four to get it done. I think Coach K's got what it takes to make a final run here, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you join FanDuel today with promo code Rob. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.vandal.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
No, please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable. Today was unacceptable, but the season has been very acceptable. And I'll tell you, the season isn't over, all right? Where is the
moment when... Coach K, still alive. Final Four once again for the Dukies, taking on North Carolina. What a matchup that's going to be coming up in the Final Four. Could this this post-ceremony speech from Coach K, back all the way back in the regular season finale, could this have inspired the Blue Devils to this point, do you think?
Must have, right?
I think so.
And now it's very acceptable, Christian told me, and Grayson, JJ, very acceptable.
I keep working on it. It doesn't get better.
I think it's getting better.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. One more week of him coaching.
Yeah, one more week of him coaching. We'll see what happens coming up in the Duke-Carolina game itself and if Duke can find their way into yet another national title game. What do you make of this final run for Duke and Coach K? I thought they'd be out in the third round this year. Everything I pretty much thought about this tournament, along with everybody else, has not transpired. Impressive to see what they've done so far. I think, you know, some of it is they're playing for Coach K and they're trying to you know, have him leave as a winner, but they're just playing really well right now. Like, they've played really well every game so far in this tournament.
Well, one thing they have is, I think, kind of like Tennessee had, they have a freshman point guard who's tremendously gifted, who struggled a lot of the year. And actually, I would say Roach struggled probably more than Chandler. I mean, they still had a great season, but now he's figuring it out. So now that's a big part of it. But, I mean, Banchero, who, by the way, the guy that Tennessee, it was Tennessee and Duke down to the very end. How would he look with the Vols?
Yeah.
He can just get his shot whenever he wants, and he's hitting them. And they're just loaded. And that's what it comes down to. They're a super talented team, and now they seem to have, I mean, some of their, like, defensively, they look so bad at times down the stretch. So you look, think about the Virginia Tech game. I watched that whole game. I was like, these guys don't even know how to defend a pick and roll, you know? And now they've gotten to the point where they're good enough, and then just offensively, they're just so loaded. So it's really interesting because North Carolina also looked terrible this year. I mean, terrible. Here's the crazy thing. So I'm in a pool The Final Four is Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, and Kansas. I'm in a pool. Not one person in the pool has their champion still alive. I mean, even though it's like a, oh, it's a blue blood Final Four, it's a shocking Final Four. That's what people are forgetting. Like
0.1% of people pick this Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, this is – so that's – when people look back on this, they'll be like, one of those chalky Final Fours. Yep, Duke and Carolina. No one picked this. Everybody had Gonzaga. I mean, even if you – you know, Kentucky, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Baylor. You know, I mean, there are a lot more popular and reasonable picks than these teams to
Arizona.
Get here.
Yeah.
Arizona, absolutely. But here they are. So, Carolina, and that was a great game, Carolina-UCLA. I mean, it took a late push to get past UCLA.
What do you make of the job Hubert Davis has done to get them here? Because, as you said, I mean, they're an 8 seed coming into this tournament. And you think of North Carolina, like, if you told people – before the season, like North Carolina ends up in the Final Four. Okay, sure. It's North Carolina. But they're an 8 seed. And, you know, they smacked Duke in the regular season finale, and that kind of launched them on this run here. But they are playing pretty darn well right now.
Yeah. They look like a great team. And again, that's the thing. I mean, both of these teams have a lot of talent. Obviously, Brady Manek, that guy is just absolutely lighting it up. The more beard he adds, you know, the more buckets he gets. But they've got everything you need too. They got size, they got athleticism, they got shooting, they got guards. I don't know why they stunk so bad this year, but like, I mean, at points this year it was like, "Ooh, Hubert Davis, what are you doing, man? Like, what do you got going on here?" You know, that's how the internet gets. I'm sure, you know, Tar Heel Twitter was not being kind, and all of a sudden it's, a great job by him. So, and now the Duke and Carolina staffs get to shake hands again.
Yeah.
Hopefully there will not be a Will Smith type thing going on there.
Hopefully not. And yet here you have Kansas as well, the only one seed still remaining in the tournament. They won by 26 yesterday, which is the largest margin of victory in the Elite Eight since 1992. So everybody's talking about Duke and Carolina. And obviously Villanova's pretty comfortable in this position over the course of Jay Wright in the last 5-6 years. And there Kansas is. It kind of feels like to me they're a little bit under the radar because everybody's talking about Duke right now. And I think Kansas is pretty darn good. The only one seed to make it through.
They bore the hell out of me, but yes, they are good. They are good.
Hey, Kansas, last time the Final Four was in New Orleans, it was Kansas-Kentucky. They lost. Yeah. So they could be going back.
Hmm.
And
which year was that? That was the 12.
12.
That was the year that in the title game. Yeah,
so
that was
actually here.
That was actually not a very good Kansas team too. I remember, like, it was Thomas Robinson. They were like not a great seed, right?
Mario Chalmers is not walking through that door. Yeah,
that's right, boy. Yeah. So they're good. They've got a lot of good players. They always do. Bill Self. Blah blah blah.
Wow, you big Kansas hater?
No.
Like Tom Brady and Kansas are on your list?
I mean, I got told this weekend, you know, Mike from Nolensville, huge Kansas fan, heard me on the radio saying that I wanted them to lose, and he was very angry about that. I said, "I'm sorry, man. I don't like them. I'm sorry." You know, I mean, I don't know if Kansas is as hated. You know, so by the way, Dan Wolken of Take of All Takes. What are you talking about?
Oh, I saw this.
Dan thinks that, like, casual fans are rooting for Coach K.
Yeah.
What? No, man.
Lots of Duke fans around the country.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think it's quite as bad for Kansas, but it's mostly the same thing. Like, you're a Kansas fan, or you're like, bleh. You're a Kentucky fan, or bleh, you know. Or you'd rather them lose. You'd rather Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Carolina all lose. Certainly do. I mean, Wolken's trying to make the point that they become more likable. Did you not see Grayson?
I was about to say.
I mean, he's as unlikable as anyone they've had. Not to mention, we've had a whole year of Coach K farewell tour. I don't think there's anyone who wants Duke to win. Other than, look, I think some people are excited about Duke Carolina, and I'm here for that. Duke Carolina in the semifinal?
I mean, I don't like either one of them, and I'm rooting for Carolina. I think Duke's going to win, but I'm rooting for Carolina.
Me too, Rob.
You guys want to see Carolina? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that'd be fun. It'd be fun to see Coach K have to actually lose. Like, he could have lost all these times, and he'll say, "That was still in a very acceptable run."
Yes.
But to actually have to lose to his rival and go out that way would be would be some good.
I'm sure
watching.
Duke fans would react very well to that. Yeah. They get put out in the Final Four by Carolina.
The stakes.
Big parties
are...
in the streets over in.
Oh man. I mean, that's the thing. They acted like they won the national championship when they won at Cameron. So what are they going to do if they win this?
I know.
The emotional stakes of that are it's a great rivalry, and people are so into that, and there's so much bitterness. You got to love it.
You do. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim texting in says, Will Smith was auditioning to play Juwan Howard in the next movie.
Oh, okay.
Yikes.
Okay.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Will in Kentucky says, can we put Joe's face on Will Smith and Jared's on Chris Rock for the next Jared versus Joe intro? We need this in our lives. This is coming from Will from Kentucky on the text line.
Wow. Yeah, but do we need to get like side, we get like profile shots of us? Like Jared turning his head kind of? Or just
so.
Like put our mugs like, we'll toy
just
around
smiling.
With it. Dennis, can you do something with this?
Some Photoshop expertise.
We should be paying Dennis for his Photoshopping.
We should. Joe, what did you make of the run for Tennessee Lady Vols basketball and Kelly Harper? Had a tough fight against Louisville the other day. They brought it close in the fourth quarter there, just didn't quite have enough in the end against a very good Louisville team.
Yeah, I was actually impressed that they kept it as close as they did, because I think Louisville's really good. I don't know that they're national championship good. I think the team that's going to win it, we saw one last night, South Carolina. They get Creighton, and it's just like, okay. I turned it off, and they're up 30. But I think that's your champion. I'm really excited for UConn NC State tonight, by the way. That's a big one. But I think it's really impressive what Kelly Harper did. To get that team together, losing their best player, you have to adjust everything. And they gave it a run. Rae Burrell in her last game. I think it's her last game. I mean, technically, like everybody has a COVID year, but I think that this is her last game. Was great. Next year, that might be a Final Four team. I mean, the glory days may be, and I know talented roster is one thing, you have to all come together, but Rekia Jackson, leading scorer in the SEC, Lady Vol next year. You got Tamari Key coming back. You got Jordan Horson coming back. A lot of good young talent, really good freshman class. And then Justine Passat coming in, who I think could be the next great Tennessee basketball player. Big time, just scorer, shooter, passer, exactly what they need. Kind of fill in Rae Burrell's spot, but I think a more well-rounded player. So if Tamari Key, she's so she has great skill. She's the all-time leading shot blocker. You got to take another step of aggression and just that sort of take over, instinct. And they got to get her the ball, because whenever she had shots this year, they won. I mean, basically, like teams couldn't deal with them. But as a senior, if she can take a big step, that could be like a legit championship contender next year.
You did call your shot. 2023 Final Four for Tennessee Lady Vols basketball.
But will you remember it?
Well, I'll remember it.
That's a better
it.
Question.
I'll remember it. If it turns out to be smart, I'll remember it. If it turns out to be dumb, then I hope you guys all forget it too. But Rekia Jackson, I mean, it's just all of a sudden they have got firepower next year. Big time.
Coming up next, we'll get into a wild game last night between the Predators and the Flyers at Bridgestone Arena. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tanner Janot, the game winner last night at Bridgestone Arena, gets the Gordie Howe hat trick. A goal, an assist, and a fight for Tanner Janot last night. The new dad. And the Predators win 5-4 at Bridgestone Arena against the Philadelphia Flyers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Big comeback for the Predators last night. They were down 2-0 in that game, down 3-1 as well. And they come back and win 5-4. Tanner Janot with 2 points last night. Mikael Granlund was awesome last night, had 2 assists. Excuse me, Tanner Janot, 3 points last night, 1 goal, 2 assists. Roman Josi with another couple of points, and Philip Forsberg gets his 37th of the year. I mean, the Predators statistically in that game pretty much, for the most part, dominated from start to finish. They were in the offensive zone a lot. They had a lot of shots on goal. I think at one point they were up 20-5 in shots on goal, and they were losing the game 3-1. So that was an interesting spot for them to be in. But all in all, they come back, get 2 points. You know, it was a good comeback effort. It was good to get the 2 points. It also, had they lost that game, we'd be sitting here talking about in a two-week span losing to the Philadelphia Flyers twice, which would not have been very good. So nice of the Predators to come back and get those 2 points last night.
Yeah, 9-9, the final score between the Preds and Flyers this year.
Yeah.
Which is probably a little bit surprising. So what's more impressive, the Gordie Howe hat trick or the Will Smith hat trick, the fight, F-bomb, and Oscar, or the goal, assist, and fight?
I'll give the slight edge to Will Smith.
Yeah. That one might be a little bit more buzz on the internet, the Tanner Janot's.
I will say this, though. If Tanner Janot slapped Chris Rock would have fallen off stage.
Yeah.
I think he packs a little bit more of a wallop.
He does. I don't see him slap too often either.
No. Yeah. usually a bald fist.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, it's a big deal to come back and get those 2 points because, you know, 2-0, I mean – and looking just sort of, I mean, at that point, it's you're outscored 14-2 in your last 7 periods of hockey.
Yeah.
Since, you know, winning on deadline day, it's like, gosh, is this team like down that they didn't trade Forsberg? I mean, is everybody depressed because Forsberg's still on the team? I mean, I'm just grasping at straws here, but, good fight. And then, you know, you finally take the lead. And then you give up that goal at the end of the second. You're like, oh, boy. This could be a bad, bad situation. But big deal for them to get it done. And, man, Tanner Janot is, I mean, really, he's having a heck of a year. Such an important player on this team.
Well, he's so important to what they do. We saw it, and it wasn't – they didn't lose 6-1 the other night to Vegas because Tanner Janot didn't play. I'm not saying that. But we saw – I think how important he is. When he's on that line, it just makes such a big difference. And Trennan scores twice last night. By the way, if you've not seen the pass on Trennan's second goal from Mikael Granlund, I mean, it's absurd that he got that pass off in as tight of a window as he did. I mean, the first Trennan goal, Josi's just dancing around in the offensive zone and, like, outweights people long enough to get the shot on goal. Just two incredible plays to set up Trennan's two goals there. But he's just, you know, Janot is so important to what they do. And 22nd goal of the season last night. And I think Roman Josi after the game summed it up perfectly. Like, yesterday's game from Janot basically sums up his season. You know, he's out there. He's got 2 assists. He's got a goal. He gets in a fight. I don't know how many hits he had yesterday. They gave him credit for, let's say, 5 hits. I mean, that just kind of sums up what he is out there for this team.
Yeah, and Granlund, yeah, that was a nice reminder of how Granlund creates too, and the Cunning goal, huge for Cunning to get a goal, and Granlund set him up too, and then of course Cunning somehow is able to, you know, whack away and then get a backhand follow on that too. But yeah, I mean, Janot is, that's the thing. If you want to talk about, because I think Hines said, you know, and he says this before, it's like, it wasn't big to get a win, it was big to get back to the identity. You know, very much a process. This is about the process, coach. Not that all coaches aren't, but, I mean, he talks about it a lot.
Yep.
It's hard to be that identity without Tanner Janot, you know? Like, it doesn't even – like, you don't really have – I know it's just one guy, and there are other guys who play that way, but he sets the tone for that style.
He does, and Roman Josi with 2 assists last night, now up to 81. 81 points on the season. He's 4 away from Korea's record of 85 in 05-06. I would say there's a decent shot, but by the end of this week, Josi has probably caught Paul Kariya. You've got Ottawa coming up and Buffalo as well on Friday on the road. And I said this last night after the game, and I'll stand by it. Like, to me, there's not much of an excuse in the stretch of Philadelphia, Ottawa, and Buffalo with what you're fighting for right now. There's not much of an excuse not to come out of this with 6 points. Like, you need to win every one of these games.
Agree. But we see it in this league. I mean, and like Willie said it on the broadcast last night, I mean, hey, these teams now, a lot of them are they're giving some of their young prospects a little bit of time, a young player, you know, and they're playing loose and free, and they're just trying to mess somebody's night up, you know, and build toward next year. So I agree. There is no excuse. You do see it. And so I don't think you count on anything. The Flyers do end up being useful this weekend to the Preds because they actually beat the Blues.
Yep.
and then, you know, eventually succumb to you. So Preds actually technically in third now. The Wild, by the way, 6 in a row, man. 8-1 and 1 of the last 10. They are kind of running away here with second place, or getting close to it.
Well, they beat Colorado last night as well at home in overtime. Kevin Fiala, the game winner in overtime last night for the Wild. So he continues to play really well. Ryan Hartman's got like 26 or 27 goals for the Wild.
Of course.
Basically, if you've played for the Predators at any point, there's a chance you may end up on the Wild at some point.
And be really good for them.
Yeah, and be very good.
Better than you were here.
As you said, they are in third place, the Predators, right now, technically, although St. Louis still has 2 games in hand on them and is 1 point back. What it really does, like Vegas, I was watching this game Saturday, and Chicago was up 3-0 on Vegas heading into the third period. It was an ABC game. Vegas looked flat. I mean, they weren't doing anything. And all of a sudden, like Chicago in true Blackhawks fashion, just totally screw it up for you. They let that game get to overtime, and Vegas wins it in overtime with a guy scoring the game winner that they traded last week, and then the trade got voided by the NHL, so that was fun to watch on Saturday. But, you know, Vegas is right there. I mean, right now, that's the team that you're trying to really hold. Just in terms of making the playoffs, that's the team that you're really trying to hold off at this point, because Dallas is behind them at the moment by 1 point. They've also got 4 games in hand on Vegas. So if you can continue to keep some distance, and you got 2 games in hand on Vegas, so they've played 2 more games than you have. If you can keep some distance between those guys in terms of purely making the playoffs, that's the team that you're trying to hold off right now if you're the Predators.
Yeah. I mean, Winnipeg is hanging around. They've won 7 of their last 10. They're hanging around in there, but I mean, you've got a game in hand on them and a 6-point lead. You can't totally count them out. I guess you can keep the Jets and the Canucks barely in the discussion still. But yeah, Vegas seems to be the cut line. And worst case is you're out of the playoffs, but you know, wild card 2 playing the Avs, holding off Vegas is probably the realistic worst case scenario for the Preds.
Yeah,
maybe I shouldn't say that though. I mean, you had 16 games. A lot could go wrong.
It was interesting. They switched up the D pairs last night. Jeremy Davies got recalled on Saturday. He was in there last night, only played 10 minutes. Matt Benning came back in the lineup last night. It was not a great return to the lineup for Matt Benning last night. He was kind of all over himself in the first period. And then the third goal of the game for Philly when they get the breakaway is Benning. He flubs a shot at the point, and then the puck goes back to him, and he has his next shot blocked and chipped ahead of him for a breakaway. Wasn't great for Matt Benning last night. Hopefully that's just a case of getting back in the lineup and getting back up to speed.
He's got to find that right combination down there.
Yeah. They're searching. I mean, look, they've had, obviously, injuries that they've dealt with. Lozon's been in the top 4 basically since he came in the lineup, but they're going to have to figure out that third pairing as they move down the stretch here. Need to get healthy on the back end. They need Dante Fabbro back in there.
Yeah. So, presumably, he does get back. Do you think Lozon, Borowiecki?
Maybe. I mean, the thing about Lozon is he can play left or right. So he can play, which sounds like, okay, well, that's great. So not everybody can do that. Like Ekholm can play left or right. Lozon can play left or right. And that's about it when it comes to the Predators. So that's, I mean, I'm sure Josi could do it if you really wanted him to, but you don't want to take Josi off where he is right now. So, you know, I think that's an option they could add. Like if Benning plays like he did last night, then yeah, it's pretty easy. You're going Borowiecki and Lozon. I'd be interested to see what Borowiecki and Benning can look like when they're back together. The problem is, like, Borowiecki, with the way that he plays, like, can you really count on him down the stretch to not get hurt? Because he's been hurt like 4 separate times this year. And I'm not taking a shot at him. Just with the way that he plays the game, it is what it is. Like, he continues to get hurt.
Like, how many of his injuries are directly related to fighting?
I don't know.
He can't help, though, right?
No.
But that's what he does.
And he's not afraid to get in a lane and block a shot, which is great. You need that, but you do that enough and you take a puck in the wrong spot, you're going to be out for a little while. And that's happened a couple times this year as well. And then he'll get hit in the corner, and there's nothing you can do about that. But just is what it is. The way he plays the game, it lends itself to injury. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, morning, fellas. Are you at all worried about the decline in UC Soros' play? 16 goals in the last 3 games. What's up? As a matter of fact, we could be. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Preds. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe, another big win for the Predators last night, 5-4 against Philadelphia. Another game where UC Saros was in goal and they gave up three goals or more. That is now six out of his last seven starts. They've given up three goals or more. And I ran some numbers during the commercial break. He has stopped 217 out of 244 shots during that span, which is an .889 save percentage, which is not good. .889 is not good. Now, every time we get into a discussion like this, the first thing people do is, well, what about the defensemen around him and the way they play defense? And I get it. Defense has not been good. They're especially, like, I could point out to you, we could go through every goal, and I could point out to you a couple last night where the defense was bad. Certainly in L.A. and Vegas, you can point to some where it was terrible in front of UC Saros. So I'm not absolving the defenseman or really the defense as a whole from blame in this discussion. But those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like, I think there was a couple of shots last night that got in that if UC Saros is on his game, he's making a stop last night. And right now he's not making that stop. And really last night, it looked like he was having trouble tracking the puck, which when he's on, he tracks the puck about as well as anybody in the league. So my question to you, Joe Rexrode, .889 save percentage in his last seven starts, three goals or more in six of those seven. Are you concerned about UC Saros and the way that he has played as of late and what that could mean for him coming down the stretch here in the middle of a playoff race?
Yeah, he hasn't been as sharp. I mean, like there's I don't think there's any question about that. And it's not just I mean, if you think people react that way, I mean, certainly if you ever talk to, like, you know, a team about its goalie, it's never the goalie's fault. Never. Right. It's always mute. It's always, you know, someone else, or it's the defense around him. And, yes, there have been some absolute miscues and some stuff that you can't expect him to do anything about, but there's been some others, too, where, like, you gotta save the bacon on that one. So, yeah, I think there's a reason for concern. I guess you could look at it like, okay, get it out of your way now and get back into form in a month when the playoffs begin. And of course, you got to get there. And remember last year, he was just rock solid. I mean, he was making a push for the Vezina because he was so good down the stretches, which is why they were even in the playoffs. Like, that version of UC Saros, and again, I think that they also, I think that they were making fewer mistakes and they had to play a certain way. And they did play that way, so it was all working well together. But they need that version of him back.
Well, I mean, I didn't think he was good last night. I thought he was struggling. He was fighting it out there last night. And you win the game in spite of it, so that's good. And look, you can go through some of these numbers. Like, he gave up three goals against Toronto. I thought he was really darn good against Toronto. So it's not just the goal total that I pay attention to. It's the save percentage. Like, and Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports put this out there yesterday. Like, you know, his goals above expected is not very good right now. His save percentage, I just pointed out, is .889 in the last, you know, seven games here. He's going through a slump. I don't think there's really any way to deny that. Now, again, I get it. There's a lot of factors that go into when you get scored on. I mean, I think it was the Vegas game when Nick Cousins turns the puck over right in the middle of the slot. And they rip off a shot. Like, there's not much you can do about that if you're UC Saros. I understand that. But I think sometimes around here we get a little scared to criticize a goalie because they've been so good. Like, Saros has been great. Obviously, Pekka was great. Vokoun in his day was great. Nobody ever wants to criticize the goalie, and I get that. He's not been good as of late. He's got to be better. I think he will be. I think he'll be better as they get down the stretch here. But I wonder, like, what is causing the slump right now? And somebody just asked this on the text line. Do you think he's tired? He's played in a lot of games this year. Do you think that maybe the amount of games that he's played may be catching up to him at this point?
Yeah, no, I was going to bring that up. That, or is there some even minor injury that, you know, even a minor injury can mess things up a little bit for you. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like he's hurt, but maybe. Maybe there's wear and tear. I mean, look, most things in sports are largely mental, so
yep.
You get into these streaks where you have the supreme confidence and then you lose some a little bit here and there. And you could probably blame some of his teammates for, you know, when the puck ends up behind you enough times, that probably affects you. You know, sometimes it's not your fault, but it still probably affects you.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's like the quarterback. I mean, the goalie and quarterback, there's a lot of parallels. Quarterbacks, nobody wants to believe their quarterback's struggling, and, you know, it's anything else around the quarterback. Same thing with the goalie. But I feel like in hockey, it's just like everyone's so worried about anything negative about a goalie that you're going to come up with everything else you can come up with. And save percentage is obviously important. I think goals above expected, I think that's a really good stat.
Yep.
And if you look at that and what he's done largely in the last couple of years, they've been tremendous numbers.
Near the top of the league.
So if that's not the case, that's a little bit better indication of what he's saving versus the types of chances he's seeing. So it's not good.
Now, it is kind of funny. He's gone through this stretch of he's .889 in his last seven starts, and his save percentage on the year has dropped to .920, which is still pretty.
Yeah,
still
pretty. That's good. That's where you want to be. Yeah.
So I think he's going to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know if I buy into like the physical aspect of him being tired. Like he's played 55 games, which is more than he's ever played at the NHL level, really by far. He's kind of blown that out of the water at this point. He's going to end up around, what, 65 games is where he'll probably end up, somewhere in that ballpark
as they go down the stretch here.
Well, they got some back-to-backs. But he'll end up somewhere around there, maybe 66, 67, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, it's a lot of games. But I don't know if I buy into the physical part of it as much as I do maybe the mental part of it. I mean, it just like tracking the puck, to me, doesn't have much to do with you physically being tired. He's struggling to track that thing last night.
But I mean, if you have such a huge difference, this is a totally different workload than you've ever gone through. I mean, I guess I could see how that would still strain you physically and mentally.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing. I mean, look, everybody knew this was going to be the case. Everybody knew it was going to be. All of a sudden, you were going to full, like it's like, you know, Pecorine for years when, you know, it's like you don't want anyone else in net. It's all his net now, and it was going to be this. So, at least, I mean, he was mentally prepared going in for this workload. I guess it's still different, though, actually going through it. Maybe that's part of it.
Matthew from Jolton texting in says, when can we get Yaroslav Askarov over from Russia to see what he can do? Like, we kicking Saros out, or
there you go. Yep.
By the way, to that point, David Poile did say a couple weeks ago on Darren Donica Chase that their goal is to sign him this offseason and bring him over. But obviously, there's some things going on right now in Russia that we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, did it sound like maybe he's, I don't know, not frustrated, but antsy?
I think antsy's probably a good word.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, Askarov's not played a ton this year because I think, and this happens at the KHL sometimes, they kind of realize that he's going to go to the NHL at some point, so then they're just like, all right, well, you're not going to be with us. We'll shut you down. Like, it's a different world over there, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. But I don't think Askarov is in any danger of stealing Saros' job for him anytime soon.
Yeah. It's not it's gonna be a process. It's going to be a process. And, you know, it's a pretty brief slump, really.
Yeah.
So, just you got to –
every goalie goes through these.
Yeah, he needs a couple gems. That's all, and then you're back on. I mean,
not a bad time to be playing Ottawa and Buffalo this week. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, he was good against Pittsburgh too, not long ago. Yeah. So.
Ron on the text line says a simple thing like a headache can really affect a goalie. I think he'll shake this off and get ready for the next game and play better. Like I do think, I think we've seen enough of UC Saros at this point to know that he's probably going to bounce out of this relatively quickly. Like, he's had some slumps in his career, and we've talked about him. You know, historically, they've come basically at the start of seasons for him, and that was not the case this year. But he's found a way to dig himself out of it. I have a pretty good amount of confidence he'll dig himself out of it, and it will help when you do get guys like Favreau back in the lineup and Borowiecki gets healthy and you've got your full complement of defensemen out there. But right now, like I can think of two goals off the top of my head last night that they really needed him to stop, and he wasn't able to do it. Like in the playoffs, that could be the difference in winning a series or not winning a series. So they need him to get that figured out by the time the playoffs come around, assuming they make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not advancing if he's not at his absolute best. I feel confident in saying that.
If he plays in the playoffs the way he's played the last couple of weeks, they're not going to win.
It'll be fast.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. Again, you could say it, and I probably just jinxed it, but feels like a good week to be playing Ottawa and Buffalo, and then Ottawa will come out and hang up five on you.
Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, that's
Austin Watson revenge tour game.
Well, those former Preds sure like to play the Preds this year.
I don't even know if he's healthy right now. I need to look. That's who he plays for, though.
Even if he's not, he can motivate them.
That is true. Well. We've seen this happen.
The Sens.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jimmy Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com caught up with John Robinson yesterday, and he had some interesting comments on A.J. Brown. We'll get to those next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.